Amen. Thank you, choir. And we are continuing on in our series. I just noticed this morning as I was driving in that the temperature was minus 30. And you know there's an extreme cold warning on. It says wind chill is going to be minus 40 to minus 45 today. And so tonight there's not going to be a mix at 6. So if you were planning on coming to the mix at 6 tonight, we're not going to have a mix because I don't think I want people to be coming with a wind chill of minus 40, minus 45, coming to church, and maybe their car doesn't start, and they can call the AMA, and it's going to be 3 days before the AMA gets here. And so just thought it would be wise if tonight we didn't have the mix, and so just so that you are fully aware of that. So enjoying this this series that we are in, Draw the Circle on Prayer. And today as we're thinking about drawing a circle around our lives individually, I want you to be thinking about good thinking. Can you please say those two words with me? Good thinking. And we're going to this text, and I'd like you to stand with me, please, as we read together from Ephesians chapter 3. It's up on the screen. Let's read this out loud together. Let's stand as we say this together. This is our text for this morning. Let's read it out loud. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today for the depth of your Spirit that is at work upon the hearts of those of us who have trusted in you. And I pray, God, that you would draw each one that's in this place to that spot where they simply say yes to Jesus. And Lord, as it touches now good thinking, I want to thank you that as we look at your word today, that you're going to take our thoughts. Lord, you've said that in Christ we have the mind of Christ. You're going to take our thoughts and you're going to remind us of things that we need to hear and things that we need to know. And God, you're going to raise us up as men and women of God, and I ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said together, amen. Amen. Please be seated. You can follow along on your insert that you have in the bulletin before you. When we're talking this morning about good thinking, as we've read from Ephesians chapter 3, there's four things that I'd like us to remind ourselves of. First of all, good thinking focuses on God's power. It says, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us. And so the first thing that we need to be thinking about as we exercise good thinking is that God is able. It says, all glory to God who is able. God is able because his mighty power is in us. The power of the Holy Spirit is within our lives. And when Paul was in jail, interesting place, when Paul was in jail, and Paul was in jail many times, and we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul and what he says to us about thinking about God's power. When Paul was in jail, he said that God is more than able to make it happen. Look at what he wrote. He said, that is why I am suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I'm sure that he is able. There's an old chorus, a hymn that says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able. But here's the context. The context is that Paul is actually in jail. I'm persuaded, I'm sure that he's able to guard that which I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. And so good thinking focuses on the power of God that's in our hearts and in our lives. I'm sure in jail, Paul could have focused on many other things. But he focused on the fact that God's power was working and active in his heart. And it's good for us to remember that God has gifted every one of us with the Holy Spirit. The moment that you were born again, you were born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and he took up residence within your heart. And he took up residence within your life. God has poured his gift of the Holy Spirit out upon you. And this is significant. This is very significant because this is the same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies. Now, I just want to check this morning. I'm just wanting to understand if you can relate with me. How many of you are here and you have mortal bodies? Wonderful. Good. Yeah, me too. In fact, yesterday when I was shoveling the driveway, I was being quite careful, but there was a good bit of snow to shovel, and I actually like shoveling it. It gets me out of the office and gets me into the fresh air, and I enjoy doing that. But I was shoveling the driveway, and I pretty significantly tweaked my lower left back. I mean, pretty significantly. And so this is what I did this morning. I remembered that the promise of God for the children of God is healing. And so I'd said to Wanda, I didn't deny it. I told her yesterday, you know what, I really hurt my back. And I went to bed and I prayed healing. I prayed healing over my lower left back. I just prayed, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to heal my back. Simple request. Now, I woke up this morning and I got to tell you, I was feeling better, but it was still quite sore. So before I got out of bed, you know what I did? I just took my hand and I put it on my lower left back. And I just began to pray. And I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that I tweaked it. I understand. But you know, friends, healing is for God's children. I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm just asking you to heal my back. And then I just quietly began to speak in tongues, and I kept my hand there. And honestly, I'm just telling you the truth here. It's always good for pastors and Christians to tell the truth. If you believe that, say amen. So I'm lying in bed this morning. I got my lower left hand on my back, and I'm praying, and I feel a heat there. And I just pray, and I rest, and I pray, and I rest. And now, to be completely honest with you, there's still a little tinge in my lower left back, but I feel really good. But I want you to know that I'm believing that pain's going to be gone. You see, there's a reality that the Spirit of God lives in our mortal bodies. It's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. In fact, Pastor Karsten, it's the same Holy Spirit that's tending those twins in your wife's womb right now. And as thankful as we are for Alberta and Edmonton and all the doctors and all the care that she's getting, we're more thankful that the Lord is knitting those twins together. And God is going to keep both of you. You know, there's that place where we walk in faith. And it's okay to walk in faith for ourselves. I mean, as a pastor, I get to pray for people all the time. I get to pray and I get to walk with people as they're walking through circumstances and walking through situations. But good thinking focuses on God's power. And you need to remember, friends, that when you're going through something personally, the Holy Spirit is in you. The power of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he lives in you. And so we can access this as we walk in faith, believing. And here's the promise. He's going to give life to your mortal bodies. If that makes you happy, say amen. I mean, he's going to give life to you by this same Spirit that's living within you. So good thinking realizes that God has gifted each one of us with the Holy Spirit. And good thinking that focuses on God's power realizes that God has made his home within our hearts. Do you know what I never have to do as a pastor? I never have to tell people that they're saved. That's God's job. I don't have to tell somebody they're saved. In fact, nobody needs to tell me that I'm saved. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our hearts that we are the children of God. And aren't you glad as a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God, that you never wake up wondering, am I saved? I mean, we can get discouraged. But listen, we know when we weren't saved. We remember when we didn't know the Lord. It was different. Now we wake up every day, we want to please Jesus. Now we wake up every day, we want to serve the Lord. Our priorities have changed. Our plans have changed. God, why? Because God has made his home in our hearts. It's not like I said last week, it's not on tablets of stone, but it's the fleshly tablets of our hearts. And when you believed in Christ, the scripture says, he identified you. I mean, God knows you. He identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that he'll give us the inheritance. I want you to know something. You have an inheritance because you're a child of God. You have a divine, eternal inheritance, and it's never going to spoil. It's never going to fade. It's never going to tarnish. God has an inheritance for you. This is the Spirit of God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. I love how the King James Version puts that last part of this verse. It says, for the praise of his glorious grace. He saved us so that we would live our lives for more than us. He saved us so we would live our lives for the praise of his glorious grace. So good thinking, first of all, focuses on God's power. Secondly, good thinking fuels God's possibilities. good thinking fuels God's possibilities. It goes on to say, infinitely more than we might ask. Now, Pastor Kyle, did you bring some balls to church today? Can you bring them up, please? And maybe Pastor Karsten, you could help him. And could I get four volunteers? I have four balls here. I'm not sure what kind. Let me see. I've got a basketball. What's that one called?
This is a dodgeball.
I got a basketball, a dodgeball, a ping pong ball, and a golf ball. Can I get four volunteers? I need four helpers. Who can help me? Four. One, two, three. I need one more. One more helper. There we go. Let's give our four helpers a hand. Come on up here, everybody. Right up on top. Come on. Okay. Come on right up here. Face the congregation. Now, we're going to let the ladies choose first. Basketball. Basketball's gone. We got a ping pong ball, a golf ball. What is that? A dodgeball? It's gone. What else we got here? Golf ball and ping pong ball. Now, here's what I want you to do. Let me see. Let's line up with, I'm going to have you, Bruno, at the very end here, please, right at the very end. And then this is fine right here. You can start. Then I'll have you second. And let's line in a nice straight line here. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. Andrew, I want you to, you only get one shot at this, okay? I want you to bounce that ball with one fling at the floor as high as you can. And we're going to count them out to three. Ready? We're going to go one, two, three, and then get the bounce the ball. Ready? Three, two, one would be better. Ready? Three, two, one. That's pretty good. Give him a hand. That's pretty good. Yeah. Christina, same thing. I want you to take that ball, bounce it as high as you can. Ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Three, two, one. Yeah. Okay, somebody get that ball so it doesn't kill anybody. There we go. We need some spotters. Okay, Diane. By the way, this is Diane, and she is our new secretary. So when you call, Diane started in January. Thanks for volunteering. This is a great way to introduce you. And she's serving the Lord here. Are you ready?
Okay.
You got a dodgeball? Ready, congregation? Here we go.
Three, two, one.
Yeah, okay. All right. Now, Bruno, I got to tell you the truth. Bruno made the best choice. You know why? Because not only did Bruno get a golf ball, but Bruno got a golf ball from the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews. And while no one will be keeping the basketball or the dodgeball or the ping pong ball, Bruno, you're going to get to keep this golf ball from the Royal Golf Club of St. Andrews. Isn't that good? Are you ready? You're going to get one shot. Now, pastors, I need your help here because you're going to need to be spotters. Get down on the floor here because there's power in this golf ball. Get down. Get on the floor. I need you to be spotters, all right? Now, Bruno, you're not going to shoot it out there. You just want to shoot it down on the floor because there's power in that Royal and Ancient St. Andrews golf ball. Here we go. Are we ready, congregation? Here we go. Three, two, one. Whoa! Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That was pretty good. But here, let me try it. What I was kind of hoping is that we would go like kind of something like, that was cool, but like that. There you go. Give our four volunteers a hand, folks. Now, what I want you to remember, you're done. Yeah, you did good. Good job, Bruno. What I want you to remember is this. Good thinking fuels God's possibilities. The word is infinitely more than we might ask. And that word in the Greek is hyper. And it actually means this: instead of, exceeding, abundantly, superior to, more than, very high. Everybody say very high. Do you know what? If you don't plug into this, you might live your Christian life like a ping pong ball. You might live your Christian life like a basketball, like you're going to go somewhere, but not too high. You might live your Christian life like a dodgeball, and you'll be dodging all kinds of things that God never intended you to dodge. And do you know what? I nearly hit the roof with that golf ball. But you need to know that when you believe in God, that He will go through the ceiling. Like God's things that you can ask for are way higher. They're way bigger. They're way more. And so I want you to be asking way higher. because you're asking a great and a glorious God. If you believe that, say amen. And good thinking fuels God's possibilities in your life when you think about how big that you can ask him. So then we daily choose to trust in his abiding grace. Has anybody ever drawn something in the, you know, in the sand by the seashore and the waves come in and they wash it over? I love this slide. It says, prayer washes worry away. Now, I want to check something else. How many of you are here this morning and there's something that you could worry about? Can I see your hand? Yeah, me too. Me too. There's a lot of things that I could worry about. But do you know what God said? Don't worry about anything. That's pretty clear. Don't worry about anything. Can it be more specific than that? And here's the choice. Instead, pray about everything. Can we just say that first sentence of this text? By the way, which the Apostle Paul is still writing from jail. He wrote the book of Philippians, which has been called the letter of joy from jail. How did he do that? Well, he chose daily to trust in his abiding grace. Would you say that first sentence with me, please? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This is a choice that we have. This is what fuels God's possibilities in our lives. Of course, we've got things to worry about. Sometimes they're big things, but God's bigger. God's bigger than the biggest worry that you can choose to dwell upon. And instead of worrying about that, pray about it. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Has God ever done anything for you? Of course he has. Here's what will happen. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. And two things will take place. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. And so godly thinking, good thinking, it fuels God's possibilities. And I want to tell you something about God's possibilities in your life. This is what God wants you to do, not me. God wills that we would call out. God wills, God chooses us, God desires us to call forth his will in Jesus' name. Jesus said, this is not me speaking and not some positive, you know, mental attitude. No, this is Jesus. Jesus said, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say, would you please say, and again, and again. Why did he just not say you can believe? Why didn't he just say you can believe it in your heart? I'll tell you why, because when you speak something, something happens in the spiritual realm. When you speak the will of God into the air, something happens. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. Now, I don't know if there's some of you that might be facing a mountain or two, maybe something that you could choose to worry about, but rather you're going to choose to pray. You're going to fuel God's possibilities. Well, Jesus says to you this morning, you speak to that mountain in the name of Jesus. You speak to that mountain and you tell that mountain to move. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Look, you can pray for most things. Is that what Scripture says? You can pray for most things? What does it say? You can pray for anything. You can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Jesus says to us, this is God's choice. God says to us, speak to your mountain. God says to us, you speak it into the air. Is there a friend or a loved one that needs to come to Christ? You say, Father, I thank you that they're going to be saved. Don't look at them as lost. Look at them as saved. And say, Father, I thank you that you're working in their life. Is there a circumstance? Is there a door that needs to open for employment? Is there a need? Father, I thank you that you're meeting all of my needs according to your riches and your glory in Christ Jesus. Is there a healing that needs to happen? Put your hand on your side and say, Father, I thank you today for the Spirit of God who is within me. I receive my healing. I know that I'm not in heaven yet, but listen, we can walk in faith. And don't be discouraged if that person that you're praying for and you're seeing them saved isn't saved yet. Don't be discouraged if that healing that you're praying for hasn't come yet. Just speak it into the air in the name of Jesus. And everyone said together, You see, that fuels God's possibilities, and it does something in the spirit realm because you've spoken it into the air. And you're not speaking for things that are not his will. Jesus is the one that taught us to pray. Did you hear this? May your kingdom come, may your will be done, Lord. And so God desires us to call forth his will in Jesus' name. Thirdly, good thinking fonders positivity. Good thinking fonders positivity. It says that God's power is at work at you. It says that he can do infinitely more than you might ask or think. Way more. Way more than you're thinking. So what are you thinking today? Well, I don't know if it's going to change. Well, I don't know if we're going to make it. Well, I don't know. I don't think so. There's too many challenges. Do you know what? Listen to me. When God gave the promised land to his people, God gave them the promised land. And he said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to choose the 12 best leaders. And that's what they did. They picked the very best leaders. And all the people were feeling, man, this is fantastic. One from every tribe. I mean, they had a democratic vote. Wow, they must have felt good as these 12 leaders went to explore the promised land, right? They must have felt, we are in good hands. We're going to be looked after. And you know what happened? We talked about this in this series already. They went, they saw the promised land, they saw the figs, they saw the grapes, and they came back, they said, whoa, there's giants in the land. Man, and I'll tell you something, 10 of the 12 gave a bad report. I'll tell you something, they were looking at us and we looked like grasshoppers in their eyes. But God had said, I'm giving you the land. So good thinking fosters positivity. Good thinking fosters the promises of God. And I pray in our congregation that we won't have 10 of 12 bringing a bad report. But we'll have 13 of 12 bringing a good report. I know that's impossible, but God is the God of the impossible. I pray that we'd be building one another up, and we'd be encouraging one another, and we'd be lifting up one another. And yes, there's challenges, and yes, there's struggles, and yes, there's battles, but God's giving us the land, friends, in the name of Jesus. He's giving you way more than you can think. And so can I ask you, as you're living your life, as you're living this marathon of faith, would you live to see God working in all the circumstances of your life? Paul's writing from jail again. Again, he's writing from jail in this book of joy in Philippians. And he says, oh, and one more thing. Fix. Would you please say fix? Circle it. Fix your thoughts. Listen, fix your thoughts. If you're, oh, it's not going to happen. We're not going to make it. It's too great. There's too many battles. There's too many giants. I don't think we're... Fix those thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and holy and admirable. Can I ask you a question? As you live your life on planet Earth, do you see anything that's not true? Do you see anything that's dishonorable? Do you see anything that isn't right or that is impure? Do you see anything that's not lovely and that is not admirable? Do you see anything like that? I mean, it's everywhere. But if you wanna live to see working God working, fix your thoughts on those things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I gotta tell you the truth. Sometimes in my life, I'm confronted with a circumstance, not all the time, but sometimes I'm confronted with something where there's so many things that I could focus on that are discouraging. You know, discouraging, it means it takes your courage away. There's so many things that are discouraging. And you know what I do? I say, God, show me something. Show me something good. Show me something that I can give thanks for. Show me something, Lord, that I can fix my thoughts on. And I do. I just look for that one thing that's good. I just look for that one thing that's promising. I just look for that one thing that's worthy of praise. And I fix my thoughts on that thing. And you know what happens? I live to see God working in my circumstances. And God, my friend, is at work in you as well. If you believe that, say amen. Good thinking fosters positivity. So learn to seek God's perfect will in everything that you do. Day by day, and as you come into this house, I know that your thinking is renewed because we preach the word here. This is what's a priority here. I know that your heart is built up and your thinking is renewed. But when you go out living Monday through next Sunday, learn to seek God's perfect will in all that you choose to do. because you're fighting a war, and your war is on three fronts. You're fighting a war with the world that's around you. You're fighting a war with the flesh, with the old nature that is still wants to rise up and control you. And you're fighting a war with the devil who wants to steal and kill and destroy everything that God wants to do in you. So as you walk in this world, learn to seek God's perfect will. Listen, God doesn't just have some general will for our lives. He doesn't have some will that, well, I don't know. No. God has a good, pleasing, and a perfect will. But if we're going to see it, we need to offer our bodies, this is the plea, that we wouldn't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Look at what it says here. Don't copy the behavior and patterns of this world, but let God transform you. You're being transformed right now. You are. As you're in this place, God is transforming you. Every time that you open up your Bible, and I mentioned that I bought a number of Bibles at a really good price. You can get those at the Welcome Center. Every time that you take time for the Word of God, God is transforming your heart. God's building you up as a woman of God, as a man of God. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you say it with me. Think the way you think. Then, when that happens, when that transformation is going on, you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Learn to seek God's perfect will in all that you do. And finally, long to see God's way into your eternal destiny. Long to see the way that God has for you that's beyond this life. Listen, your life here is affecting your eternal destiny in heaven. So since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Finally and fourthly, and perhaps most importantly, good thinking formulates praise. Good thinking causes our lives to say, may my life reflect the glory of God. Solo Deo Gloria. May I live my life for the glory of God. May my coming to the cross, may my asking Jesus to come into my heart, may that cause me somehow today and tomorrow by his grace in a greater measure to reflect to God be the glory. Good thinking formulates praise. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and forever. Amen. I do love the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It sums it up very well. The greatest discovery you can make for the rest of your life. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Do you enjoy serving the Lord? I do. I got to tell you the truth. I enjoy serving Jesus. From the very moment that I received forgiveness and I received Christ, from the time I was 18 until now, 57, nearly 58, I enjoy serving the Lord. I'm not waiting till heaven. I enjoy serving the Lord today. Every day that I wake up, I enjoy serving Jesus. I don't want to do anything else. There's nothing, no other way that I want to spend my life. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Do you enjoy serving the Lord this morning? I mean, what else? What else do we want to do except serve the Lord who gave everything for us? And so good thinking formulates praise, friends, recognizing that it's an honor, it's a privilege to live our lives for Christ. You might be a doctor. Well, you're a doctor for Jesus. You might be a teacher or a lawyer. Well, you're a teacher or a lawyer for Jesus. You might own a business. Well, you're a business person for Jesus. You might be involved in working for the city. Well, you're a city worker for Jesus. You're a student. You're in high school. You're in college. You're in you're doing that for Jesus. Like there's nothing greater in life to do. It's the best discovery ever. You see, good thinking formulates praise that says, may my life somehow, Lord, glorify your name. And so can I encourage you in this new year as we're circling our hearts with prayer to follow the highway to heaven? It's the best way. It's the best purpose. It's the best plan, friends. Listen, it'll take you out of your self box. It'll take you out of the self box that's only concerned for you and your own. And it'll expand that box to others that you don't even know. It'll take you out of the self box and it'll even give you a heart for even everyone. Follow the highway to everyone, to heaven. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings, Psalm 29. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. There is no better way for you to go than following Jesus Christ. There's no higher honor for you to live your life for. Good thinking formulates praise. And when we follow the highway to heaven, we make sure that we let all hear about the salvation of the Lord. We join our hands one with the other. I talked to you this morning about the tithe that belongs to the ministry of the church, but I thank you. I thank you for giving. I like in our teaching from Pastor Batterson this week on the Draw the Circle, he said, don't just pray for your missionaries, write a check. And I'm thankful that you write checks. I'm so thankful that you do that, that you're faithful. And you know, almost $300,000 came in. How did $300,000 for missions come into this church last year? You did it. You said, no, I'm gonna set that new car aside for a few years. I don't need more clothes. I don't need more shoes. I don't need more purses. I'm gonna set it aside for the gospel. Thank you. Let everybody hear about the salvation of the Lord. And what we can do together is way, way more than what we can do alone. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Each day, publish the good news that he saves. And here's our job. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Let us tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Glory to God. If you live your life every day saying that you want to have a life that somehow will glorify God, you know what prayer you're going to constantly be praying? You're going to constantly be praying the prayer that David prayed, Lord, search my heart. Lord, help me to serve you with all of my heart. Help me to serve you with all of my mind. Help me to serve you with all of my soul and all of my strength. With all my heart, I will praise you, O Lord, my God. I will give glory to your name forever. Good thinking. I know today you've been encouraged in your thought life. Good thinking. You know what good thinking does? It focuses on God's power. It fuels God's possibilities. It formulates praise, and it fosters positivity. We began with this scripture. Would you read it with me, please? Would you stand with me as we read this scripture? Let's read it out loud again together. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and forever. Amen. We're going to sing a chorus that says, I sing praises to your name, O Lord. I sing praises to your name. And then the next verse says, I give glory to your name, O Lord. I give glory to your name. I know it's in G. Are you out there, Pastor Jason? You are out there. Come on in. I was going to just sit down and play that, but I don't have to now. Let's sing it. I sing praises to your name. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great, and it's greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O to your name, O Lord, for your name is great, and it's greatly to be praised. Give him glory as you sing, I give glory. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O it's greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory. Father, I want to thank you today that good thinking focuses on God's power. Good thinking remembers that God is able, and that that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in us. I want to thank you, Lord, that good thinking fuels God's possibilities. We're sure not going to be like a ping pong ball. We're not going to be like a dodgeball, dodging things that God never intended for us to dodge. We're not going to bounce as high as a basketball or even as high as that golf ball that nearly hit the ceiling. But Lord, it's infinitely more. The possibilities of God in our lives are infinitely more. And so help us to ask bigger, because you're a big, big God. I want to thank you, Lord, that the promises of God foster possibility. It's not only more than we ask, but it's more than we think. And we give you our minds today, Lord. And we ask you, forgive us when we thought less of you. Help us to think more of you and less of us. Lord, help us to think of your greatness when we're facing something that's big. Help us to be able to speak to our mountain in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you, Lord. And this is the most important thing. Good thinking formulates praise. Glory. Glory to him in the church. Glory to him in Christ Jesus. Through all generations, forever and forever. And the church said together, I pray today that as you go from this place, that you will be encouraged in your thinking to good thinking. I want to remind you, ladies' retreat is out there. The photo directory is out there. There's just all manner of things out there. And tonight, it's going to be like minus 40, 45 with the wind chill. No mix at 6 tonight, so don't come. We're going to put a sign up on the doorway because of the weather. Father, I pray you bless us as we walk from this place, that we'd walk strengthened in Jesus, receiving and doing all that you've called us to accomplish for your glory, Lord. We give you praise. And everyone said, if you're our guest, come and see us in the Connection Cafe. We'd love to meet with you, and have a great Lord's Day. Thank you for being here.
Oh, praises to your name.